This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, futures started out lower on Friday but rebounded late in the trading session. Corn and beans saw light gains across the board, while wheat finished mixed but mostly lower. Corn for March finished up 2 cents to 364. May corn finished at 373, up 2.25 cents. And July corn finished up 2 cents as well to 381.5. Soybeans for March were up 1.75 to 899.25. May beans were up 1.5 to 911.5. And July beans finished up 1.25 to 925.5. Chicago wheat for March finished up 1.5 cents to 454. May wheat was at 457.25, down 2.25 cents, and July wheat was down 2.25 cents to 463.25. Soybean meal for March gained $1 up to $303.30 per ton. May bean meal was up $1.40 to $307.40 per ton, and July bean meal was up $1.40 as well to $311.20 per ton. Finally, soybean oil for March was down 1 penny to $29.95. May bean oil lost a penny as well to $30.24. And July bean oil was down 1 penny to $30.58. At this time, we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for last Friday's cash grain reports.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain prices are mixed on Friday afternoon. Corn and soybean had a sharp reversal late in the trading day. After being lower earlier in the day, they closed a few cents higher. In northern and western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 2 cents higher, 316 to 348. Soybean bids were steady to down 3 cents at 820 to 850. In the central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher, 331 to 352. Soybean bids are up 1 to 2 cents at 839 to 868. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 5 cents higher, 334 to 365. Soybean bids are up 2 to 5 cents at 839 to 886. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 867 to 880, with basis at 4500 to 3200 the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 283.50 to 293.50 a ton, up $1.20 to $3.20 a ton, with basis at 2400 to 1400 the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mixed at 336 to 358, with basis unchanged to down 3 at 2800 to 600 the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted a producer corn bids up 4 to 7 cents at 350 to 356, with basis at 2300 to 1700 the May. Soybeans ended down 1 to 2 cents at 859 to 867, with basis at 5300 to 4500 the May. New crop wheat prices are down 3 cents at 433 to 453, with basis steady at 3000 to 1000 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal always placed their producer corn bids 2 cents higher at 376 to 377. These elevators raised their soybean prices 2 to 5 cents, quotations at $8.95 to $9. Soft wheat closed 1 to 2 cents lower at 481 to 482. Milo ended the day up 5 to 6 cents at 413 to 414. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery. Corn in the northern part of the state at 341 to 364. Soybeans at 864 to 890. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 349 to 365. Soybeans at 881 to 908. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 335 to 369, soybeans at 876 to 907, and June, July wheat at 437 to 461. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April live cattle lost 30 cents down to 129.55 a head. June live cattle were up 27 cents to 120.42, and August live cattle were at 116.27, up 37 cents. Feeder cattle for March lost $1.65 down to 141.22. April feeders were down $1.10 to 145.05, and May feeders were at 146.52, down 72 cents. Lean hogs for April were up 52 cents to 56.40. May lean hogs were at 65.92, up 22 cents, and June lean hogs lost 37 cents, down to 75.52. At this time, we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for last Friday's Cash Livestock Reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 33 cents higher in a range of $42 to $45.29, with the weighted average carcass price of $45.01. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were $5 higher with good demand for modern offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 30 to 36, 4 to 500 pounds at 33 to 40, 5 to 600 pounds at 36 to 45, over 600 pounds at 40 to 50. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gelts at country buying points were steady with weak demand for moderate offerings ranging from 24 to 31. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts totaled 27,118. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $122 to $130, and on a dress basis traded at $202 to $206. Heifers on a live basis traded at $127 to $130, and on a dress basis traded at $202 to $206. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 216 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $61.92, which was $1.43 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $221.29, which was $1.34 higher, with select carcasses at $216.79, which was $1.52 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000 compared to 114,000 for last week and 114,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 471,000 compared to 472,000 for last week and 452,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Fairview Sale Barn Auction results. Special unrestricted feeder cattle sale. Total receipts of 1581. Compared to 2 weeks ago, feeder cattle sold mostly 5 to 10 higher. Trade was active with good demand on a quality set of feeder cattle. Feeder steers large 1-2, 3 head with an average weight of 275 and an average price of 156.67, 25 head with an average weight of 379 and an average price of 167.27, 60 head with an average weight of 480 and an average price of 179.21, 96 head with an average weight of 575 and an average price of 162.73, 102 head with an average weight of 677 and an average price of 149.73, 75 head with an average weight of 769 and an average price of 141.82. 5 head with an average weight of 873 and an average price of 125.03. 3 head with an average weight of 980 and an average price of 108.65. Feeder heifers large 1-2. 4 head with an average weight of 270 and an average price of 153.50. 30 head with an average weight of 381 and an average price of 150.99. 74 head with an average weight of 471 and an average price of 148.23. 89 head with an average weight of 577 and an average price of 134.52. 72 head with an average weight of 671 and an average price of 133.45. 43 head with an average weight of 722 and an average price of 131.04. 2 head with an average weight of 850 and an average price of 131. 4 head with an average weight of 912 and an average price of 99.64. 1 head with a weight of 1055 and a price of 99. Feeder bulls large 1-2, 3 head with an average weight of 323 and an average price of 161. 8 head with an average weight of 419 and an average price of 157.75. 8 head with an average weight of 521 and an average price of 139.33. 15 head with an average weight of 682 and an average price of 120.97. 3 head with an average weight of 775 and an average price of 174. 2 head with an average weight of 1025 and an average price of 71. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And National Ag News to start off this week. Japan is not far behind China, and ratifying the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement is on the administration's trade agenda, according to the USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue. Reminded of Japan's importance to U.S. agriculture at a Senate hearing last week, USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue had this on expected trade losses from the U.S. withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP.
The threat is real. Obviously, TPP will begin to be implemented this spring, and Ambassador Lighthizer and I had several conversations about the disadvantage that puts our American producers and exporters regarding Japan.
A nearly $2 billion market for U.S. beef now threatened as Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and Mexico, still in the TPP, benefit from tariff reductions. More reason, Purdue suggests, for Lighthizer to strike a new deal with Japan.
The goal being certainly to be equivalent or plus TPP provisions in agriculture that would put us in even stead with any other nation in the world.
And Purdue is taking steps himself.
I'll be going there late spring, I think in May, for the G20 agricultural ministerial. We plan to make that a sales trip as well.
For now, China remains the focus, including a trade win for President Trump last week when the WTO ruled Beijing's farm subsidies exceeded its commitments, possibly forcing a rollback that could help U.S. farmers. The Senate approved Andrew Wheeler as the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. The former coal lobbyist was confirmed by a vote of 52-47. The Washington Post calls Wheeler a veteran of Washington political and industry circles who's aided in President Trump's push to roll back environmental regulations put in place under former President Obama. At his confirmation hearing in January, Wheeler talked about the dozens of rules that the EPA has rolled back over the past few years. He also made it explicitly clear to lawmakers that he intends to continue the Trump administration's reversal of environmental regulations. Through our deregulatory actions, the Trump administration has proven that burdensome federal regulations are not necessary to drive environmental progress. Wheeler also said that certainty and the innovation that thrives in a climate of certainty are the keys to progress. In addition to the rollbacks, Wheeler had also rolled out initiatives aimed at reducing lead exposures around the country. Contrary to some media reports, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue did not say the state of farm credit has reached the levels of the 1980s during his hearing with lawmakers last Wednesday. He told RFD-TV following the hearing, the current conditions are not equal to the 1980s.
Well, it's not as bad as it was in the 80s. We've got we started off with more assets, better debt-to-asset ratios that are still not bad because of the really the firmness of agricultural land. We saw a real deflation back in the 80s in ag land. We haven't seen that, nor really in rental rates, which, again, is atypical in a downturn that we've seen, particularly lasting 5 years.
Even though we aren't at 1980s levels, American farmers and ranchers face another year of uncertainty and tight margins.
The farm income has fallen about 50% over the last 5 years. There are very few businesses that can survive that kind of revenue decrease. That's from probably the peak in 2013.
Despite the downturn, he doesn't think farm debt will reach the levels of the 1980s.
Farm debt's been rising more rapidly over the last 5 years, increasing by 30% since 2013. But fortunately, we're not to the levels of the early 80s. I don't think we'll get there.
Purdue offered farmers one silver lining. According to USDA economists, the 2019 net farm income is projected to hit $77.5 billion, a $14 billion increase from last year's forecast. In other national news, the USDA is moving forward on the process of creating regulations that would oversee commercial hemp production in the United States. ThePacker.com says once the information gathering is wrapped up, the agency will then use the information to write regulations that will include provisions for federally regulated hemp production. The regulations will also include a process for submitting state as well as Indian tribal production plans to the agency. The USDA says regulations for states and tribes who submit plans will include things like land to be used for planting, testing, effective disposal of plants and products, compliance with law enforcement, and many others. The law requires the USDA to complete reviews of its plans within 60 days once the regulations are effective. The USDA is also required to establish a plan to monitor and regulate hemp production in states or Indian tribes that don't yet have an approved state plan. Illinois is one of those states that does have an approved state plan. The USDA's intention is to roll out the regulations by the fall of this year in order to make sure growers who want to plant hemp can be ready for the 2020 growing season. In our last national story for this Monday morning, trade is more important than ever for farmers, at least according to the conversations along the sidelines and sessions of the Commodity Classic 2019. Wesley Spurlock, a past chairman of the National Corn Growers Association, says trade issues impact all levels of agriculture today.
Yes, these trade issues cover every level, whether it's our corn that's being exported to Mexico and across the world, or if it's the DDGs or the ethanol. Then you get to the soybeans and the amount of soybeans that used to go to China, and we've got to find new homes for that, and hopefully the trade deal will be done with China to where those can start flowing back in the way we'd like.
Mary Kay Thatcher, Federal Affairs Lead at Syngenta, says economic factors have provided a rather mixed outlook for farmers.
Gosh, yesterday I met with a farmer who produced 325 bushel corn and 92 bushel beans, and he's as happy as a lark. But he had pretty decent weather, too. And then you got other people who still have hundreds of acres of beans still in the ground. So I think a lot of it depends on what kind of yields were you able to produce, because if you produce that good a yield, even with prices that are poor, you can do all right. Other parts of the country, not the same.
She says that even if farmers can weather the current economy and trade issues, don't forget the importance of trade to U.S. agriculture.
Don't take your eye off the ball of trade, because while you may be able to weather the storm now with these trade initiatives, it takes a long time to get a market that you've lost back. This is a long-term implication on agriculture, so we have to continue to push on that.
Spurlock and Thatcher are both eager to see the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement ratified, an agreement made with China. In local news, four Illinois producers will be honored as the 2019 Master Farmers at Parade Farmer Magazine's annual event in Springfield on Wednesday, March 13th. The award recognizes exceptional agricultural production skills, commitment to family, and service to the community. Award recipients are Martin Marr of Jacksonville, Jim Robbins of Piatone, Bill Sachs of Lincoln, and Boyd Schaufelberger of Greenville. You can find the profiles of each winner in the March edition of Prairie Farmer and online at prairiefarmer.com. Prairie Farmer first offered the award in 1925, and editors have continued the tradition annually since 1968, following a pause initially caused by the Great Depression. When editor Clifford Gregory established the Master Farmer program, he felt the award would help give farmers a greater sense of pride and permanence. Nearly 350 Illinois producers have been inducted as Master Farmers or Honorary Master Farmers over the program's history. The Master Farmer Award is Illinois Agriculture's Lifetime Achievement Award, said Holly Spangler, Prairie Farmer editor. It is based on a body of work in the field, in family, and in the community. Candidates are nominated by farmers, neighbors, agribusiness leaders, and farm organizations throughout Illinois. Every year we pour through pages and pages of applications that document a lifetime of work. We sift until we find the very best Illinois farmers, the people who raise good crops and even better families, and those who build their communities along the way, said Spangler. Master farmers leverage every ounce of skill they possess for the greater good. Prairie Farmer is published 12 times a year for the Illinois farm families. Established in 1841, it is the oldest continuously published farm periodical in the United States. Growmark is the financial sponsor of the award. Like the Master Farmer Award, Growmark system was born during the 1920s, when farm cooperatives first organized the Illinois Farm Supply Company. Today, the brand is known as FS. In local livestock news, we have the latest results from the Greenville Livestock Auction's latest sale last Wednesday, February the 27th. There were total receipts of 972, 929 of which were in cattle. Slaughter steers and heifers traded 50 cents to $1.50 higher on High Choice and $1 higher on Low Choice and Selects. Holstein steers traded $1 to $2 higher on High Choice and $1 higher on Low Choice and Selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded unevenly steady on medium-large 1 to 2s and $2 to $5 lower on unvaccinated, unweaned, and short-weaned calves and medium-short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded $2 to $7 higher on better cows and $2 to $4 higher on slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded steady to $1 higher. And to catch the full report, you can find that on our website at WSMIRadio.com. In other livestock news, we have the latest Illinois cattle inventory. All cattle and calves as of January 1, 2019, totaled 1.2 million head, 4% above January 1 of 2018. All cows and heifers that have calved are at 500,000 head, and that is up 2% from a year ago. The 2018 calf crop was estimated at 430,000 head, up 2% from 2017. Also, we have the state sheep and goat inventories. All sheep and lamb inventories as of January 1, 2019 were at 53,000 head. That is down 4% from January 1 of 2018. Breeding sheep inventory was at 45,000 head, and that is down 2% from a year ago. Market sheep and lambs on January 1 totaled 8,000 head, down 11% from January of 2018. The 2018 lamb crop of 41,000 head was down 5% from 2017. During 2018, wool production totaled 200,000 pounds, unchanged from 2017. Sheep and lambs shorn totaled 32,000 head, and that was down 3% from 2017. Meat and all other goat inventories totaled 23,000 head as of January 1st, down 8% from the previous year. Milk goat inventory was at 11,000 head, and that was up 10% from January 1st, 2018. In local news, the University of Illinois Extension Master Gardeners of Montgomery County are hosting the second annual All Gardeners Day program on Saturday, March the 16th. The event will be held at the Holy Family Catholic Church Parish Center in Litchfield. Registration begins at 8 a.m. The event will run from 8:30 until noon. The program will include presentations on exciting new plants for 2019, specialty gardens in your landscape, less common fruit-bearing plants, and a separate session on irises, and gardening for bees, butterflies, and other pollinators. The keynote speaker, Ken Johnson, will discuss gardening for bees, butterflies, and other pollinators. Johnson is known for his entomology experience. As an extension educator for Calhoun, Cass, Green, Morgan, and Scott counties, his primary focus is on integrated pest management, home gardening, fruit trees, and beneficial insects. The cost for the day is $15, which will include two classes and the keynote speaker. Please pre-register by March 15th by going to the website go.illinois.edu/CJMM or by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. And that will do it for this Monday morning, March the 4th. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.